You know, we don't have to listen to the news very long or read the newspapers very long. And I'm sure in your lifetime you've heard of many times when some individual is accused of some particular crime or something that's happened, immoral or unethical or so forth, and we see that they're shown favoritism in the court system, in the legal system, and so forth. And I can think of several in my lifetime where I'm fairly positive the only reason the person got off the hook was because they were famous or wealthy or whatever. If you or I would have been in that situation, we'd still be in prison. One thing the Bible talks about from beginning to end is about showing partiality, showing favoritism based upon external circumstances, wealth, power, influence, social status, looks, appearance. And we're going to look this morning at how, even in the book of James, after James has said, pure religion is this. If you want to practice pure and undefiled religion, you're going to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and you're going to keep yourself unspotted from the world. It's interesting that immediately after that, James gives an example of pure religion. That example is found in James chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. I hope you have your Bibles, can follow along, because this verse and these verses speak volumes to us today about how we are to treat people. How we are to treat people. So let's begin. James chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, says this: My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings in fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in a good place, and say to the poor man, you stand there or sit here at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you are called? James gives an example here, one way of showing what pure and undefiled religion is. James says there is no place for prejudice in pure religion. He says there is no place for it whatsoever. He says you cannot practice pure religion. While showing favoritism. Favoritism, again, based on outward circumstances. Again, based on wealth and social status and position and influence and these appearances. It says you cannot practice pure religion and show favoritism like that. Why? Because he says, Christians, you are holding up the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does he mean by that? Very simple. He means your life is what the faith is to people. So they see the faith living in you. So in other words, you're holding up the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if they see you showing favoritism to the wealthy, to the people of position and power and so forth, but then you teaching something else, your faith is vain. It's a worthless faith. James says, the only faith a lot of people see is you. So he says, you're holding it up for the world to see. So you cannot show partiality in your lives. You cannot show favoritism in your lives. Because what? It contradicts the Spirit of Christ. God shows no partiality. Romans chapter 2, verse 11. Apostle Peter, remember, he was talking about showing partiality. We'll read it in a minute. Says that God judges people based on their character, not what they look like, or not their positions, or not their rank, or not their wealth. Says God does it based on their character. In Acts chapter 10, we'll see what Peter is talking about. Turn back, please. Acts chapter 10, and we'll begin reading in verse 34. Acts chapter 10, beginning in verse 34. This, of course, is when the gospel first begins to be preached to the Gentiles. In Acts chapter 10, verse 34, it says, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears Him and works righteousness is accepted by Him.'" See, Peter says it doesn't make any difference where a person lives, what their nationality is, or anything else. God judges based upon a person's character. And if we're going to follow God's Spirit and God's attitude, then we're going to do the same thing. We're going to look at someone's character. We're not going to look at, you know, their outward appearance or their social status or their rank or their wealth. Nothing like that. We're going to look at their character. Of course, this was true even in the Old Testament. Back in Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 1. Turn back with me and read part of one verse. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 17. So this is how God has felt all along. Not just in the New Testament, but all along. Notice Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 17. God, through Moses, is saying this: "You shall not show partiality in judgment. You shall hear the small as well as the great. You shall not be afraid in any man's presence. For the judgment is God's. The case that is too hard for you, bring to me and I will hear it. Show no partiality, small or great. Don't make any difference," he says. "Make sure that you are fair. Don't base your judgments upon wealth. Don't make it based upon appearance. Don't make it based upon their so-called rank in society." God says none of those things are important. What's important is what's inside, what a person's character is. He says that's what's important. So don't show partiality. So he gives this example. Two different men come into the assembly. This is the Christian assembly. This is just like we are assembling today. He says two different men come in. And what do? The people in the assembly, they make very quick judgments on what those two people look like, based upon what they look like. One guy comes in, he's obviously rich, dressed in very fine clothes, has rings on his finger. In the first century, a rich man would wear rings on his left hand, never his right. And he would wear, the richer he was, the more rings he would wear on each finger. So if he walks in and he has lots of rings on his fingers, that's a sign that he's very wealthy. Well, this other guy comes in, obviously not wealthy, probably dressed in rags. And so the people in the assembly make these quick judgments. Okay, I'm going to honor this guy. I'm going to have the other guy sit at my footstool. In other words, where a servant would be. They're making snap judgments. They have no idea what these people's character is like. So they simply look at their outward appearance. Well, this guy's obviously rich. I should show honor to him. This guy is poor. I don't need to honor him in any way. Do we automatically assume the poor man is lazy? Or do we automatically assume he's some type of addict or whatever? Is that our automatic response? Do we automatically assume the wealthy man is righteous? Hopefully not. Do we automatically assume the poor man is wicked? In other words, he's lazy or he's on some type of drugs or he's an alcoholic. Is that our first response? Because he says that's what is dangerous. He says, if that happens, you have become judges with evil thoughts. Yeah, we have to judge, but we're not to judge with evil thoughts. Remember, we're not to judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment. John chapter 7, verse 24, he says, that's how we're supposed to judge, see, based on a person's character. Guess what? You don't know a person's character as soon as you meet them. A person's character is not necessarily reflected in what they look like. Their character is not reflected in how many rings they have. It's not reflected in how they talk. It's not reflected in what they drive. It's not reflected in their social status. A person's character is not reflected in those things. So what was happening, these two individuals walk into the assembly, and many people in the assembly become quick judges. And they're judges with evil thoughts. In other words, they're not judging righteously. They're not judging in a right manner. They're making snap judgments based upon an outward appearance. James says that is always wrong. It's not just sometimes wrong. It's always wrong. And you cannot claim to be practicing pure religion while you do that. See, this is an example. He's contrasting what pure religion is with an impure religion. People that practice an defiled religion, a corrupt religion, are judges with evil thoughts. They do that very thing, something we cannot do. So when he says, you know, when you show partiality based on those things, what does it cause? What does it cause in the assembly? Well, it'll cause snobbery. It'll cause formation of cliques. It'll cause all kinds of things. And one thing that is so detrimental is that if people, Christians, act like that, then it's going to cause unbelievers to remain unbelievers. Because they may hear us say, we're to love all people, and then they see us practicing that, and see our faith becomes nothing to them. It's not evidence of anything to them anymore. They just see us basically as being hypocrites. So they're not going to want to have anything to do with us. So we should ask ourselves, how would we treat Jesus if he walked into our assembly? Jesus would not walk into the assembly with a bunch of rings on his finger, that's for sure. So how would we treat Jesus if he walked into the assembly? It's a very important question. Showing favoritism based upon looks, based upon wealth, based upon social status. He says it's always wrong, and it's not a part of pure religion. That's a defiled religion. That's a corrupt religion. Jesus, God, judges people based upon their character, based upon what's inside. Because he goes on and says that God loves the poor. Verse 5. Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? Hearken, listen, pay close attention, James says. Don't you know? The poor tend to obey God more than the rich do. That's always been true. I can't imagine that ever changing. So he's trying to point out how hypocritical our actions are if that's the way we actually treat people. If it's the poor that tend to obey God, then if anything, those are the ones we should be honoring. Because those are the ones typically that's going to be followers of God. We go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, when he begins that letter to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. You know, Corinth had a lot of internal problems in that church. There was a lot of strife between members. And notice what he says, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. These people were glorying in all kinds of outer circumstances and outward appearances. So what does Paul tell them? For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. He says, remember that. Very few people who are wise in the world's eyes obey God. It says it just doesn't happen. Some do, but most do not. Most rely on their own knowledge, not God's. Not many mighty. Not many people of great influence and power. Not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. I mean, that forever and forever tells us that those people who are mighty and powerful and have positions of influence and are wealthy and so forth in the eyes of the world are people who predominantly do not obey the gospel. The opposite are the ones that do. So James is saying, this is crazy. Two people walk into the assembly, one obviously wealthy, one obviously not. Why would you honor the one who is very unlikely to obey the gospel and ignore the one who very likely will? See, James says, that doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense at all. God is very concerned about the poor. Remember when John the Baptist sent a message to Jesus, or sent his disciples to Jesus to find out if he was the Messiah, and Jesus sends a message back to John the Baptist telling him some wonderful things that's happened, marvelous things that's happened, things that's hard to believe, and what was one of them? The poor have the gospel preached to them. Jesus included that in the message to tell John. John, this is something that's amazing. What is amazing, Jesus? That the poor have the gospel preached to them. Think about all the times in the Old Testament that God tells His people to remember, take care of those who were less fortunate. I mean, over and over and over, we could read for probably hours of all the places in the Old Testament that talk about that. And of course, one of the most memorable ones in the New Testament, Luke 16, the rich man and Lazarus. There was a great difference between them in this world. The rich man had everything he wanted in this world. Lazarus, all he could do was eat some scraps that were on the floor. But God didn't look at the rich man's outward conditions. He didn't look at Lazarus's outward conditions. He looked at their character. He looked at their character. Lazarus was a good man. The rich man obviously wasn't. So when they both died, the rich man lifted up his eyes in torment. Lifted up his eyes in torment. The Bible over and over and over again tells us that most of the rich and powerful and influential do not obey the gospel. They will not listen to the gospel. But those who aren't influential, those who aren't powerful, those who aren't wealthy, tend to listen because they don't put their trust in the things of this world. They're putting their trust in God. No wonder they listen. The others do not. And he ends up by saying, you've dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you were called? See, the poor were being treated with contempt, a lack of respect. The poor, in many people's eyes, don't enhance the image of the church. So let's ignore them. Even though it's them that more likely than not will obey the gospel. And unfortunately, many so-called religions do just the opposite. They're wanting just the wealthy and powerful and socially elite to be a part of their congregation because they believe that somehow makes them special. James says, no, it doesn't. It's a person's character that matters. That's what James is emphasizing. He says, most of the rich do what? They oppress you. They oppress you. Or they drag you into the courts. This was something also in the law of Moses that was talked about. They drag you into the courts. Why show people favoritism who oppress you, who drag you into the courts, and blaspheme your name? Why show them favoritism? James says that's just dumb. James says that doesn't make any sense. You need to favor people, show partiality, judge people based on their character. Based on their character. Judge by righteous appearance. Judge by righteous appearance. Based on their character, who they really are. Not these outward things that don't make any difference. So why in the world would you honor someone who's dishonoring you? See, James says that just doesn't make any sense. That's not practicing pure religion. And we need to make sure we never ever do that. And we stay as far away from it as possible. Or if someone comes and is thinking about being part of our congregation, the last thing we should look at is their social status or their rank in society or their power or their influence or their money. We shouldn't want someone like that any more than we should want anybody else. James says that's showing favoritism based on outward circumstances, and James says it's always wrong. It's not wrong most of the time. It's always wrong. Because you cannot practice pure religion. If you do that, James says, that's not pure religion. It might be somebody's idea of religion, but it's not pure religion. So James says we have to be careful about what we see when we look at other people. What do you see when you look at other people? Are you looking at their character? Are you just basing things on outward appearance? It's always a dangerous thing to do the latter. Most of us, I think all of us, want to practice pure and undefiled religion. That means that we have to be very careful and we have to put time and effort into being those who judge with a righteous judgment. We look at people's character. We look at what people are really like and who they really are, not what they appear to be outwardly. Hopefully we have learned this morning the necessity of being careful when we look at people. And being careful and making right judgments. Looking at people on the inside and seeing what they're really like, not on the outside. James is often called a book of practical religion, and it's very practical. And it's about how we treat people. It's how we treat people. Because how we treat people is, in essence, how we treat God. Because we're all made in the image of God, therefore how we treat people is how we treat God. You know, God has given everything He can give by giving up His Son on Calvary. So He's given everything He can for us. And it's up to us to decide what to do about that. By becoming a Christian, experiencing the new birth, being born again, and then living a life where we're devoted to practicing pure religion. You know, what would we do if Jesus walked into our assembly? How would we react How would we respond? I don't want to leave you with that thought. If there is a need that any of you have, I encourage you to come at this time as we stand and sing this next song.